In three places in the Torah speaks about reward for mitzvahs in a physical manner, material manner, reward in this world. And it goes into great detail about that reward. The first place is in Seder Bechukosai, in Bechukosai Teleichu. If we walk in the statutes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, then the Torah describes an ideal environment that will ensue. In our Sedra, in Ekev, Ahoya Ekev Tishmaun, if we keep the mitzvos, then the end result will be also an ideal, perfect environment, physically and materially. And finally, in Parshas Kisavo, before the Tochacha, the Torah speaks about, if you keep all the mitzvos, how ideal the environment will be physically and materially. Now we know that Chazal have told us that Schar Mitzvah B'Hai Al Maleka, that the reward for mitzvahs is not in this world. The reward is in the next world. Therefore, the Ramban says that this promise for physical and material good is talking only in the time when there's a Beis HaMikdash, there's Hashras HaShchina, and basically it refers to Yemos HaMashiach, which is the ideal environment that will exist in that period of time in the end of history, which is still this world, but it is the ideal state of this world. And that's what the simple meaning of our parsha is, V'hoya Ekev. Ekev means in the end. Last week's Sedra ended with Hayom Lasosam. Today we do the mitzvahs. And Machar and tomorrow, meaning in the world to come, or even prior to that, in the period of history called Yemos HaMashiach, that's where this reward will occur. Also, the Ramban says, this is a promise to the Jewish people as a whole, not to individuals. And that's why it could be the parsha starts off in the plural, V'hoya Ekev Tishma'un, and then it says, V'shomer Hashem Elokecha Lecha, in the singular, meaning that when all Jews will keep the Torah properly, and we will be Zoche to Yemos HaMashiach, then as a unit, unified as one person, God will reward us with all of these things. Now the Rambam explains that this is not really reward, because reward for mitzvahs is not in a physical world. The mitzvah is a spiritual thing, and the reward can only be in a spiritual world. What this is that if we keep the mitzvahs perfectly, and we'll see with certain conditions, and as a nation, then God will give us a time that is the most ideal environment and circumstances to be able to keep more mitzvahs. This is not the reward for the mitzvah. It is a perk that if we keep the mitzvahs properly, God will give us an environment and circumstances that are ideal to keep the mitzvahs even in a greater way and in a more intense way, and in that way be able to earn the reward of the world to come in the greatest way possible. And the Rambam basically says that in that time, all of the physical material pleasures will be available like the earth, like the dust, and people will not have to pursue them, and they'll only have one pursuit in life, and that is learning Torah and fulfilling mitzvahs, and nothing will bother us. There'll be no negatives in the world to take our mind off of Torah and mitzvahs and deter us from keeping Torah and mitzvahs. Therefore, there will be no famines and no sickness and no competition and no wars, and people will not have to pursue physical material things. It'll be available without having to pursue it and get it in difficult ways. Everything will be easily accessible, and that will be the ideal environment to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that environment needs three conditions, and in each place in the Torah gives a different condition as to how we are to keep the mitzvahs and which mitzvahs to keep in order to merit this ideal environment of Yemos HaMashiach. In Seder B'chukai Kosai, the condition is Shiyu Ameilim B'Torah, that we should put in tremendous effort into learning Torah and observing the Torah. And there it refers to the Torah as Chukim, in B'chukosai Teilechu, that you will consistently walk, which is a tremendous amount of effort, being consistent. Consistently work in my Chukim. Chukim are mitzvahs that don't necessarily have a rationale to them. And there it's the effort. It's the effort in learning Torah. It's the effort in keeping the mitzvah beyond the rationale of the mitzvah, beyond the understanding of the Torah. The effort itself is what has the effect, and that's something beyond rationale. In Kisavo, the Torah says a different condition. Tachas ashelo avadato as Hashem elokecho besimcha v'tuv levav. If you serve God with joy and a good heart, then all these blessings will happen. If not, if you don't serve God with joy and a good heart, then you'll have all the curses. You'll have an environment that is negative, a deterrent to keeping mitzvahs. And there, it refers to the Torah as kol mitzvosai, all of my mitzvahs. And here in our Sedra, the condition is, if you will keep the mitzvahs that people thresh underfoot, the mitzvahs people consider light, and it refers to the Torah as mishpatim, as the rational mitzvahs. I think the explanation is the following. First of all, our Sedra. We explained at the bar mitzvah of Binyamin Yellen that mitzvahs kalos doesn't mean mitzvahs that are light, but they're mitzvahs that are easy. They're mitzvahs that don't cost anything. They're mitzvahs that don't involve a tremendous amount of effort. Easy mitzvahs. Sha'adam dosh ba'akevav. Disha is threshing. We're not talking about mitzvahs that people trample on. We're not talking about people who trample on mitzvahs. We're talking about people who fulfill mitzvahs like disha. Disha is threshing, and you can do threshing without too much thought. Just walk over the grain, and automatically it's threshed. You don't have to put too much thought into it or effort. It's done nonchalantly. These are mitzvahs that people can do easily and nonchalantly. And if you keep those mitzvahs in a way that you put effort and put understanding and put a tremendous amount of investment in to do it in a way that's not nonchalant, right? V'hoya ache of tishmoon, you'll learn about them. And you'll do them with a tremendous amount of intention and not nonchalantly. Ushmartem. Shmira means that you'll look forward to the mitzvah, you'll prepare for it. As it says, V'aviv shomer es hadover, he guarded it. And he looked forward, when will it come? Same thing, ushmartem. V'hayekav tishmon ushmartem v'asisem osam. Eskola mishpatim v'elu, all of these mitzvahs that a person, if he wants to, can understand and can glean a tremendous amount of understanding from them. And then, ushmartem, you will prepare for them and look forward to them. Vasisim, and you put in effort to do them in a concerted and meaningful way, and not just thresh them nonchalantly, then you will get this reward or get this environment where the physical and material world will be in its perfect way. Because the Rambam says that in the time of Mashiach, all the nisyonos, all the things that people are tested with, of competition and war and hunger, right, won't be found. And the reason is that a person should not be deterred by these things to have his mind diverted from his main purpose in life, in learning Torah and fulfilling mitzvahs. And if his mind is diverted because of wars and competition and hunger, then he won't be able to concentrate and put his full intention and full concentration into mitzvahs. And therefore, if a person wants to put his full concentration, his full understanding, he doesn't want to fulfill mitzvahs nonchalantly, then this environment will be very, very positive. But if a person fulfills the mitzvahs nonchalantly, doesn't direct his attention and concentrate on them anyway, then these nisyonos are positive things. They make a person think, and they make a person concentrate on mitzvahs if he's going to do them at all. So a person who is going to put his concentration to the mitzvahs, and these things will be a hindrance, then God will take them away. But if you're not going to concentrate on the mitzvah anyway, then sometimes having to fight against these deterrents makes you put more concentration into the mitzvah, and therefore the environment where all of these deterrents are not existent maybe isn't that good for you. The second thing, it says that a person was created, Adam la'amal yulad. A person was created to toil in this world. And all of the tests and trials and tribulation and the Yetzirah and the negative things in this world were there to make us toil and put in a tremendous amount of effort and bring out the potential that we have. And therefore, it's possible that being in an environment where everything is calm and serene and good, and we have a proliferation of physical material pleasures, could be to the negative of a person. Vayishman yishurim vayivat. We get fat and we kick, and we leave the Torah. And a person will run after gashmias, and he has 100, he wants 200. 200, he wants 400. And therefore, it's possible that having all these physical material pleasures will also be a negative thing for a person. And therefore, we have these three conditions that make this environment only positive. First condition is that we'll put effort into Torah. And we won't need to put the effort into the wars and the competition and the famines or whatever that will bring out the effort that a person has to put into this world. But the effort will go directly into learning Torah and observing the mitzvahs, and therefore we won't have to put effort into other things. As it says, "Kol gufei deruftiki," everybody was created to toil. "Tavi dezochi deruftiki deoraisa," fortune is the person who put all his toil into the Torah. But if a person is not toiling, and he has an ideal situation, and it prevents him from toiling, he takes it easy, then that is not at all a positive environment, and therefore the Rabbanu Shalom will not provide it. And therefore in this world we put a tremendous amount of toil into outside things, and coupled with keeping Torah and learning Torah, the toil that we put into the external things is a positive thing. It weakens our Yetzer Hara, and the Torah and the mitzvahs also weaken the Yetzer Hara in a positive way. And that's what it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Yofet Talmud Torah im derech eretz. Talmud Torah is good together with earning a living. Sheyegi ashnei mashkachas oven, because the effort that a person has to put into both of them takes away averes. So if you can't put all your effort into Torah and mitzvahs, then you need other things to put your effort into, because effort in this world is a positive thing. But if a person will be able to serve God with tremendous effort, then he won't need those side things to put the effort into, and God will give us serene environment, physically and materially, so we can redouble and put all our effort into Torah and mitzvahs. And that is the condition of in bechukosai telechu, and that's why it's chukim, because it is something beyond rationale. The idea of toiling in mitzvahs and Torah is something beyond rationale. Secondly, if a person's main joy in life, the fact that he feels fortunate, is based on physical and material things, then he's going to run after those things at the expense of Torah and mitzvahs. And on the other hand, if he gets his joy and feeling of fulfillment in life and feeling of being fortunate from Torah and mitzvahs, and the material physical things are only enhancements of that, then the physical material things will not draw him away from Torah, but he'll use them in a positive way to enhance his Torah life. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos. Kachi darka shel Torah. If you want to know if you're on the path of Torah, then pas b'melech tochel, you have to eat only bread and salt, mayim b'mesura tishta, drink only measured water, v'al ha'aretz tishta, sleep on the ground, v'chayitzar tichya, and live a life of privation, v'torah to'amil. But if you're able to learn and observe the Torah, ashrecha v'tovloch, you're fortunate and it's good for you, ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tovloch lampa, you're fortunate in this world, it's good for you in the next world. Now, that can't mean literally that the only time a person is on the path of Torah is if he lives a life of privation, because there are plenty of great Torah scholars who lived a very fine life, not a life of privation. Now, the idea is that what would be if you could only eat bread and salt, only drink water, sleep on the floor, live a life of physical material privation, but you were able to learn and observe Torah? How would you feel? If you would feel under those circumstances fortunate and good, then you know that your fortune and your joy comes from Torah, not from physical material things. And therefore, even in their absence, if you can learn and observe Torah, you'll be happy. But if in the absence of those things you'd be miserable, then obviously your joy in life and your feeling of fortune comes from those things, not from Torah. The difference being, what are you going to sacrifice for what? What's the main thing in your life? So if you're on the path of Torah, you have to be the kind of person that even if he would not have those things, but he'd still be able to learn and observe Torah, he would feel fortunate and happy. And then he's stuck a fortunate and happy in this world. And therefore, that is the litmus test. What is the source of your happiness in this world? Physical, material things, or Torah? And therefore, if we serve God with tremendous simcha, and we show that our joy in life, our goodness of heart, our feeling of being fortunate, is a result of Torah, then God will give us a perfect environment, because then the environment will not be to our detriment that we'll run after all of these luxuries, but rather the opposite. We'll use those luxuries to enhance our Torah life. And that's why in Kisavu it says V'hoya Kisavu, V'hoya Ein V'hoya El Eloshen Simcha. Right? If you'll listen to the Torah with Simcha, Kol Mitzvosai, and you'll do all my mitzvahs, right? Lishmoa Bikol Hashem, you'll listen into my voice, and you'll keep Ratzon Hashem, not just the commands that I kept you, but you'll be so enraptured and joyful and feel fortunate with mitzvahs that you will look into the mitzvah and see what God's will is and apply it to all of your life. You won't be satisfied just to keep the narrow mitzvah, right? And lishmor, again, you'll look forward and you'll be so happy and anticipate, when will I be able to do a mitzvah, right? And you'll keep all the mitzvahs, which I command you today, every day it'll be fresh to you, as if it was given that day, if the mitzvahs to you are the peak of your joy and fortune in this world, then the environment of material and physical plenty will be a positive thing for you. And the last thing is that a person needs to have his mind free to put in all of his concentration into fulfilling mitzvahs. But if you fulfill the mitzvahs anyway nonchalantly, then you don't need to be free, just the opposite. Better to have other things on your mind. So that's why it says over here, Ekev Tishmun, if you'll listen to those mitzvahs, you'll learn them. The mitzvahs that a person could do nonchalantly, like threshing, without too much thought, if you'll do them with thought, and you'll listen to the Tishma'u, and you'll learn about them, right? And you'll do the Mishpat, and the things that people can understand, and can invest a tremendous amount of understanding into what the implications of the mitzvah are, and to appreciate what they are by putting in effort, then God will take away all these deterrents, and we'll be able to concentrate and put all of our understanding and all of our all of our mind and deed into the Torah observance. And that's why it's hinted to in our Sedra, all of these things. It says, V'shomer Hashem Elokecha l'choes habris v'yasacheset. God will guard for you in the end, meaning you're not going to get this reward throughout history. But when you deserve to finish off history with Yemos HaMashiach, and this environment will be positive, then you'll get it. And that's why it says, V'shomer Hashem Lecho es habris v'yasacheset. Hashem Yishmor, God will protect you, that all of these material and physical benefits will not harm you. You won't get caught up in them, become dependent on them, and pursue them at the expense of Torah mitzvah. So the first thing is V'shomer Hashem Lecho. God will provide it in a way that you're guarded and protected because you have the right outlook, that what brings you joy and fortune in this world is Torah and mitzvahs. And then es habris. Bris represents the close connection, the bond between us and the Rabbanu Shalom. And that bond is created by Amal HaTorah. That bond is created by toiling in Torah and mitzvahs. And that's when God will be with us constantly. And we have a covenant with Him. We have an attachment to Him. So that's the next thing. When that will happen, when you'll put in tremendous effort and you'll create that attachment, then this environment will come about. V'yasa chesed. Chesed means that Torah starts with chesed and ends with chesed, because the Rabbanu Shalom gives us situations that make it compatible and conducive to keeping the Torah. It depends on the person, what's conducive for him to keeping the Torah. Sometimes that's living a life of privation and having tzoris and yisurim or whatever. But when the Rabbanu Shalom sees that our real simcha, we realize the Torah is the greatest chesed, it's the greatest kindness of God, and there's tremendous joy in keeping the Torah, then having physical material pleasures will not substitute for that joy, but will enhance that joy. And therefore we will make use of those physical material things when they will enhance our Torah and mitzvahs, and not when they contradict and deter our Torah and mitzvahs. Therefore it behooves a person to, before Mashiach comes, to live a life that echoes what will be when Mashiach comes. A life where our simcha in Torah is paramount. That's what we feel fortunate about. That's what we feel is the fortune and joy of our life. That we are willing to put effort into Torah and not take it easy. And when we are free from putting effort into the physical world and everything will come easy, we'll redouble our efforts and put more toil and more effort into Torah and mitzvahs. Until that happens and people are looking to take it easy, then giving us an easy environment will be counterproductive. And lastly, we have to have that tremendous simcha. We have to have that idea of concentrating on the mitzvahs we're doing, not doing them by rote, nonchalantly, but thinking into them and learning about them, and understanding what we can understand about the Mishpatim. And then God will take away all the deterrents that will prevent us from thinking and having a clear mind to delve into the depths and mysteries of Torah and mitzvahs. So that is the meaning of our sedra, v'hoya ekev tishmun, in the end, when the right time comes in history, then God will provide us with this ideal environment in which we can observe the mitzvahs and learn Torah in the most significant way and earn the greatest share in the world to come. But he'll do it when these three conditions are met, and we are protected from running after material things at the expense of Torah, v'shomer Hashem lecha, and we have that attachment to God because we're willing to put in the effort directly into Torah. We don't need then the effort in outside things. And finally, as a chesed, we feel that our greatest joy is Torah and mitzvahs, and all other physical and material pleasures are good if they enhance that, but they're not pleasures and they are not a fortune in themselves. If we live like that and we live our lives before Mashiach comes in a way that reflects what we are looking for and how our outlook and perspective is on Torah and on life, if we live our lives now as much as possible in the same framework, with the same desire that will exist when Mashiach comes, then we'll be zocheh that God should send us Mashiach Tzidkenu, Meirav Yameinu.